Chapter 12. Lord Celest and Tylos Stormbound. As the anvil entombs our foes, the fossil that destroyed it whirls away, leaving a tornado of dust and rubble as it hurtles across the steppe.
"Follow it!"
cries Boreas, struggling to be heard over the din, battling through the falling debris to reach me. The rest of my army emerges from the swirling clouds of dust, bloody but unbowed, looking for my command. As they stagger from the wreckage towards me, I'm distracted by the skeletal colossus filling the sky, blocking out the moonlight and shedding towers the size of mountains. Truly, this realm is full of wonders.
"Hammers of Sigmar!"
I roar, rising up in my saddle and pointing Grius at the disappearing fossil.
"Witness a miracle! Witness the power of the God King!"
Boreas staggers to a halt nearby, and the rows of expressionless masks turn to face me. I keep Grius pointed at the enormous skeleton crashing across the steppe.
"The realms will kneel no more!"
I bring Grius and Devora together over my head, and they erupt in a ball of holy fire. Faith and fury pour through my skin and armor, surrounding me in a blinding nimbus of light.
"For the God King!"
I cry, as Zarax rears beneath me, spewing lightning from between her gaping jaws. The Stormcasts reel away from me, shaking their heads in wonder, even Boreas. Then, as Zarax tears off in pursuit of the skeleton, I hear them echo my war cry and join the chase. At first, the going is slow as we struggle over the ruins of the anvil. Most of its defenders are buried beneath a landslide of broken masonry, but every few feet I see a grim reminder of the warriors who seemed so unstoppable a few minutes earlier. Twisted, bleeding hands jutting up from the rocks and lifeless faces staring up at the sky, their skulls sheared apart. I allow Zarax to hurtle past most of them, but there is one corpse, skewered on a fallen spire, that catches my attention. I rein Zarax in and look down at the still muttering warrior. It's the champion with the skinless face. His body has been torn almost entirely in two by the piece of masonry, but he's still clinging to life. At the sight of me, he laughs and tries to rise, but he only succeeds in pouring his viscera across his broken legs.
"You do not exist,"
he gurgles through a mouthful of blood.
"The Blood God and I..."
Before he can say more, Zarax roasts him alive with a blinding flash of lightning. I make the sign of the hammer as he crumbles into ash, then urge the Drakoth on. As I leave the ruins behind, I see that Boreas's warnings were not exaggerated. The fossilized serpent is heading directly east, towards a shimmering line of fire that stretches across the entire horizon. "Lake Malice," I say out loud, recalling my brother's description of the impassable lake. I would never let Boreas know, of course, but I have no idea how we will cross this final hurdle. Even God-forged Stormcast Eternals cannot simply wade through lava. As it nears the lake, the skeleton is lit up in red and gold, and I have the strange sense that we're chasing a lost soul, plunging into the depths of the underworld. I rein Zarax in and allow the others to catch up. Boreas is at the fore, and I'm about to praise him for destroying the anvil when he speaks.
"Lord Celestant," he says.
His voice sounds angry rather than pleased.
"Our passage through the anvil was not bought cheaply."
"I understand, Boreas." I glance at the quickly disappearing monster. "Sigmar sees all. Whatever pain you've endured..."
"Tylos, you don't understand."
He glances down at the relics hanging from his armor.
"The price was the Curiat."
I can't hide my shock. "The heart? Boreas, what do you mean?"
"I bought our passage with it."
He steps closer.
"It was the only way. We're almost out of time. The Tempest was sent astray. If we'd spent any longer trapped in the anvil..."
"Yes!" I interrupt. "I understand." Anger pounds in my chest, and it takes all my strength to keep my voice calm. The Curiat was the key to the Crucible of Blood. Without it, there's no way we can seize control of the Realm Gate. For the first time since we landed, I feel the ghost of my past rising to challenge me. I grasp the hilt of my sword in an attempt to steady myself. I hear a harsh voice at the back of my thoughts. The brutal, honorless killer I was before the Lord of Storms tempered me. I grip the hilt tighter until my heart steadies. Boreas watches my hand on the rune blade.
I had no choice, he says.
The rage passes. I am as true as Evora's blade. I dismount. Boreas, do you trust in Sigma? I place my hand on his shoulder. He nods. Then trust in me. We both know what we must do. He grips my arm.
Brother, he begins, I swear that there was nothing else.
I know, I reply, returning his grip. And we both knew it might come to this. I manage to keep my voice level as I consider the path left open to us. There can be no return. Before either of us can say more, an explosion tears the night open. Golden light flashes in the polished metal of my men's masks. Boreas and I both turn to study this latest miracle. The serpent has thrown its entire length across Lake Malice. The liquid sprays and hisses over bones as big as mountains, and it is enveloped by a liquid heat haze. You bought us a bridge, I say, turning back to Boreas with a laugh of disbelief. He nods, and despite everything we face, I hear laughter in his voice too. But then he becomes serious again.
Not for long, brother.
I follow his gaze and see what he means. Even through the haze, I can see the skeleton smouldering and warping where it lies in the lava. As we stare, it raises its fanged skull and lets out a ghostly roar.
Move!
I cry, leaping back into the saddle and waving Grius at the lake.
The Lord Relictor has brought us a passage to victory. Our journey ends on the far shore.
Zarax leads the charge, speeding me across the black rocks. Boreas and the others rush to follow as Drusus leads the prosecutors overhead, scouting the night sky for signs of attack. By the time we reach the shore, the skeletal serpent has left a trail of carnage. The area is littered with strange architecture, weird domed houses built in the shape of bull-headed monsters, destroyed by the giant fossil. Zarax vaults over broken horns and shattered snouts. As we career through the strange scene, I get my first glimpse of those we've come to save. Emaciated, wide-eyed mortals, cowering in outfits as ridiculous as their homes. They make a tragic sight. And I raise my head, determined to show them what humanity can be. As we near the lava, I see the remains of a bastion that must have been crafted by the same brutal hand as the anvil. The smashed remnants show signs of jagged, taloned battlements and thick brass walls. On the side facing the lake, there is a pile of broken machinery. Wheels and pulleys that were previously linked to great chains, now all gone, torn free by the impact of the bone serpent. Zarax pounds on. As we near the bubbling lava, an intense wave of heat penetrates my armor. The skeleton is sinking fast, the fossilized remains slumping and snapping as the lava devours them, and I'm about to cry out a warning when Zarax makes the leap. The fossil's tail holds as her great scaled bulk crashes down on it, and the liberators follow close behind, clambering onto the splintering ivory arch as though they were simply crossing a brackish stream. Again, I'm hit by the incredible charge I've been entrusted with. What kind of warriors would follow me across this searing heat, with death only a single misstep away? Only those born of the God King's immutable will. Unlike the others, I have only to hold my nerve as Zarax carries me towards the far side. As the bones jolt and crack under her weight, gouts of smoking lava lash out. But Zarax has the heat of stars running through her veins, and she charges on, dodging every blast the furnace can throw at us. Boreas's fossil has lowered its head, and I can clearly see our goal ahead, a flash of moonlit brass glimpsed over a ridge of basalt. The crucible of blood is painfully close, but so is the dawn. The dazzling lava beneath me makes it impossible to be sure, but I can't help thinking that the sky is getting lighter.
Faster!
I cry, turning back to my men. They're already showing godlike heroism by hurling themselves over these bones, but I will not face Sigmar as a failure.
We have to reach the crucible before the sun rises!
They pick up their pace, but fossilized bones do not make for easy footing. The paladins in particular struggle to heft their massive suits of armor over the crumbling vertebrae, and the heat is now so intense that the fossil is starting to spark and flame. Soon the whole thing will be ablaze, but I'm forced to rein Zarax in halfway across and wait for the others to reach me. I can feel the seconds ebbing away, and it's a torment to sit powerlessly so close to my goal. I cast my gaze out across the lake and see a shape rushing in our direction. There's something moving through the lava, making for the burning skeleton.
Faster!
I roar, looking back along the fossil. The vanguard of liberators had almost reached me, and the judicators are with them, but the retinues of paladins are trailing way behind, with Boreas at their head. Drusus has led his prosecutors down from the clouds to help. They are hovering over the struggling paladins, pounding their celestial wings as they attempt to lift their brothers over the crumbling, sparking bridge. Boreas sees more shapes rushing towards us, raises his hammer into the rolling fumes, and cries out a litany. Whatever the things are, they must be as tall as oaks. I can't hear my brother's words over the hissing and burning of the lake, but I can sense a growing charge in the air as he prepares for an attack.
Lord Salastent!
Shouts Liberator Prime Castamon as he reaches my side. He waves his hammer at Boreas and the paladins.
We need to head back!
I shake my head. There is no going back! Boreas is standing proudly at the head of the paladins, with his banner of bones and his hammer raised in defiance. The paladins form ranks behind him, readying their weapons for whatever is about to emerge. They're perched on flaming, shattered bones a few feet above a lake that would burn them alive. They're about to be attacked from all sides, yet even now they show no trace of fear. The lava erupts as a Goliath bursts into view. It has the head and legs of an ox, and four powerful arms, two of which end in jagged iron hooks. Strange, crackling energy shimmers over its scarred hide, and the lava leaves no mark on it. The monster bellows as it crashes into the bones, surrounded by a rolling cloud of flames and sparks. Boreas vanishes from sight, and Castamon cries out.
Gorgons!
He yells, preparing to charge back down the bones. I slam him back into place.
Hold your nerve, I growl, and he nods, stepping back into line.
The place where the paladins were standing is now a wall of flaming spray and pounding, sparking limbs. I see golden figures dashing through the flames, bringing their huge two-handed hammers to bear. But the creatures are so vast, they barely register the blows.
We can't leave Boreas behind,
says Castamon, and I nod. You can. Lead the army to the far side. As ever, Zarax knows my mind better than I do, and before I can command it, she races back towards my brother. We've gone no more than a few yards when the lava erupts again, spewing another howling gorgon from its depths. As it attacks, I notice that it's trailing a mass of chains and cords. Zarax leaps clear as the monster smashes through the bones, splintering the fossilized spine with an explosion of cracking sounds. I cling to her back as a gorgon dives in our direction, smashing a hole in the bridge. My army has been split in two. The bulk of my retinues are gathered on one side of the break, watching in dismay as Zarax and I are forced back towards Boreas and the others. The gorgon has torn a 20-foot hole in the bridge of bones. Even if Castamon wished to lead his liberators back to me, they could never leap the gap. I look the other way and have to stifle a cry of outrage. Where Boreas and the others were standing, there is only a cloud of spinning bone fragments and embers. I see Boreas pounding his hammer furiously against the snorting monsters, but dozens of retributors have already been thrown into the lava and are in their agonized death throes. Moments after the paladins sink from view, lightning cracks down from the heavens, connecting with the lake in a blaze of blue fire as Sigmar reclaims his own. Boreas staggers under a flurry of blows, and I spur Zarax on. She leaps into action, hurtling towards him. There's a crash of breaking stone as a Gorgon smashes into view, blocking my way. I'm too furious to think about the size of the monster, and I drive Zarax to even greater speed. She slams head first into its massive chest, and I bring Grius round in a wide arc towards the monster's face. The warhammer lands between the ox horns with such force that another explosion rocks the fossil. I slump back in my saddle, too dazed to see what's happened. Then I realize that the Gorgon is on its back, pawing at its bloodied face, blinded by my attack. The fossil groans and snaps. Zarax almost loses her footing, staggering towards the lava. I grasp on to a broken shard of stone and hold us steady seconds before we plunge to our deaths. I'm just inches from the lava, and my eyes stream in the heat. Zarax leaps back to safety, and I draw Evora, preparing to attack the Gorgon again. The monster's legs are thrashing wildly beneath it, and it's unable to rise. My blow has crippled it. I behead the beast with a single clean swipe of my rune blade. I take a look back at the way we came and see a breathtaking sight. Boreas stands alone, and his golden armor has been torn away in several places. He's swaying like a drunk as Gorgons charge towards him, perched precariously on a single massive vertebra, only hanging on with one hand and holding his warhammer aloft with the other. His reliquary has gone, and there's blood rushing from his skull mask, but he will not yield an inch. I can hear his voice from here, hoarse but defiant, ringing out over the noise of the monster's thrashing limbs. He's surrounded by blinding columns of light as paladins die all around him.
Drusus!
I howl, scouring the skies for a sight of the prosecutors. Most of them are gathered at the opposite end of the fossil, defending Castamon and his liberators as they try to reach the shore, but there is no sign of Drusus's red-plumed helmet. I cry his name again and look back to Boreas. A Gorgon lunges with its rusted hooks, and Boreas swings his hammer. But as he does, a staccato blast of lightning explodes along the creature's head. It jolts back from the fossil, letting out a furious howl, and Boreas tumbles from his perch towards the lava. I curse, but as the blast clears, I see a pair of blazing wings, and Drusus soars into view, holding Boreas aloft with the aid of another prosecutor. Others dive into battle, blasting the enemy back into the lava. A wounded Gorgon prepares to lash out at Boreas and his rescuers, but Zarax gets there first, bounding over a final section of bone and fastening her jaws around the monster's tree trunk throat. I bring both sword and hammer down into its face. The afterglow of Drusus's attack is still shimmering over the monster's hide, and it ignites my weapons, creating another dazzling blast. The creature is thrown backwards towards the lava. I turn to land another blow. A volley of hammer blows lights up the monster's flank as Drusus and the other prosecutor swoop by, still clutching Boreas. The final Gorgon drops into the lava, but manages to clamber back onto the bridge and slice its hooks into Zarax. I thrust Evora into one of its eyes, and ink-black blood smashes into me with such force that I'm knocked back in my saddle. By the time I rise, the monster has almost vanished back into the lava. The last of its hooks is still buried deep in Zarax's hide. She staggers and slips towards the edge of the bones, unable to free herself. Almost in the lava, she turns her proud, draconic head and unleashes a bolt of crackling energy into the Gorgon. The light burns with such violence that she becomes a silhouette, haloed by blazing white power. A final, agonized howl bubbles up from the lava as the sinking Gorgon releases Zarax, and she staggers back to safety. She pauses to steady herself, then pads back towards the shore, majestic and magnificent, smoke trailing from her jaws and lightning sparking between her midnight blue scales.